A Maundy Thursday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 16, 1987, in the series Christian Hope in Life and Death, entitled Learn of Jesus Christ to Die. The scripture readings are Luke 22, verses 14 through 19, and chapter 23, verses 44 through 47. The text for the sermon is Luke 23, verse 46. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
This evening, as we move from the table to the garden and the anguish of Jesus, we consider Jesus as an example, not only for our living, but for our dying. For in his dying, he cited a text from the Old Testament, dying as he had lived in prayer and in the recitation of Scripture. His dying words were, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." And so we go to Calvary and to the death of Jesus and learn of Jesus Christ to die. We have considered in these midweek worship services at Christ Community our Christian hope in life and in death. And tonight we come to that climactic moment when Jesus indeed dies, and dies in confidence and trust, being for us a model of how to die. The psalm that he quoted, which is the text of the evening, from Psalm 31 and verse 5, was a prayer that every Jewish child was taught for their bedtime expression. It was to a Jewish child what, for most of us, I suppose, was, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." See, I haven't said that in a long, long time. But it's never a problem to recite it, even though for me to recite something from memory is not an easy task. I can talk on and on forever, but I can't memorize the verse of a hymn. But that prayer, I'll never forget. And I suppose that you might say the same. I remember, and I'm almost embarrassed to share with you this fact, but for the young people here tonight, maybe they'll recognize that even their pastor had a funny adolescence. I remember when I was too old to say that prayer, and I formulated my own prayer in my adolescent years, that after formulating my own prayer in my own words as the last act of the day before getting into bed, I'd say my own prayer and then I'd repeat, "Now I lay me down to sleep." I think until I was old indeed, far beyond the age at which one ought to say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." But there was something about that. There was something about that little prayer that no matter how I might have formulated the concerns and the desires, the hopes and the fears of my adolescent years, I didn't really feel complete and ready to go to sleep until I had said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep." Now that's an honest confession. I've never told anybody that in my life. But I thought about it today, because this was the prayer at retirement which was taught to every Jewish child. And it is those kinds of memories that come back to us and that sustain us in life's crisis moments. And after all, what more profound way is there for us to lay down our head in rest than to commend our lives into the care of God? Jesus died with a prayer that was no doubt the prayer that he offered at the end of every day. And in the midst of the excruciating agony of that final night, and then the terror of Good Friday and crucifixion, he offered those words that enabled him to hold on to God and to die trusting. Certainly not without fear and trembling. We have looked at the anguish through which he passed, the struggle in the garden. And indeed, we cannot forget the cry of dereliction on the cross. But the last word, according to Luke's gospel at least, was this offering up of his life into the keeping of the Father. And so indeed, we go to Calvary and to the cross to learn of Jesus Christ to die. I believe that he was able to die in confidence and trust at the last moment of his life because he had already died. When he gathered his disciples around him on that last evening, when he instituted this supper of remembrance, when he asked them to break bread and pour the cup and to remember him, he was telling them in so many words that he had appropriated his own death into his life. I don't know how many of you watched the television presentation again this year of Jesus of Nazareth. But there is a cumulative effect as you watch, as the drama rises to its climax. The intense sense of anguish over everything going wrong. His own people who received him not, his own leaders who rejected him, his own disciples, one of whom betrayed him, another denied him, and all of them misunderstood him. From a human point of view, for all practical purposes, the whole mission seeming to come now crashing on the rocks of disaster. One wonders how much one human soul can take. But I think the Last Supper, when he instituted that feast that we'll celebrate in a moment, was an indication that Jesus had reckoned with the possibility that there would be no grand intervention, that there would be no lightning from heaven, that there would be no dramatic move by the Father, that just possibly whatever his Father was about, he was about through what seemed now to be his inevitable death. There are those who say that none of us can truly live until we have accepted, come to terms with, reckoned with our own death. Only when I have accepted the fact that I shall die am I freed to live. And I believe that Jesus had not come suddenly on this recognition that this would be his end, but rather it was a growing recognition that this would be the inevitable end point. Still not knowing if there would be some movement on the part of heaven or not. But at this point, gathered with his disciples, taking the bread, pouring the cup, he had accepted his death. He would go out and he would say once again, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, thy will be done. He was not done with fear and trembling. He was not done with the anguish of soul. But he had come to terms with his own death. And because he had died while he was alive, he could die at the end of his life, still trusting. Go to Calvary and to the cross and learn of Jesus Christ to die. He died in prayer. He died reciting the scripture. He died in the confidence that somehow beyond the darkness there was a gracious and sustaining will of his heavenly Father. And so he died. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so whether it's now I lay me down to sleep, or whether it's into thy hands I commend my spirit, finally to breathe one's last, offering oneself into the care of the good and gracious God, is to die in trust, knowing the triumph which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God, we will never face death as he faced it. For having faced death as he faced it and experienced it as he experienced it, he removed its sting. We can no longer experience death as he experienced it. For we can only experience it on this side of Easter, and although Paul calls it still the last enemy, its sting has been removed, and its triumph has been denied, and our victory has been secured. But we still walk this side of our death, under the shadow of the cross, and therefore we still will come sometimes with anguish and distress and fear and trembling. But we always have before us the risen Christ who has modeled out for us the way to die, which is to die into the hands of our Heavenly Father. And so, what is your only comfort in life and in death? My only comfort in life and in death is that I, body and soul, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn of Jesus Christ to die. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thanks be to God.